And I've always said this, and I've always believed it, that there's no recipe to being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. I don't believe there's no recipe, what you'd call a recipe, walking with God. The Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. But everybody wants a recipe. And every one of us is different. Paul got saved on the Damascus Road, and God dealt with him in a certain way, but he dealt with you in a certain way when he saved you. And it's the same way. We talk about being, this is the recipe. Give me seven things to build a Christian home. What a joke. Yeah. I told my wife today, I said, you've got 50 invitations to go teach on how to build a Christian home. She said, I don't know how. But she said, I'll tell you what, if you'll get me a place to speak on how to survive after everything's went to pieces, I can help them. Amen. 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 I think that's all we really need to know anyhow. Amen. I bought Andrew Murray's book on the home, and I read every bit of it, and it never even mentioned nothing but the man and the wife. And I thought about that a lot. He wasn't telling you a recipe. He was telling you how to get right with God, where you'd be qualified, that God could use you. A lot of times we're taking a bunch of rules. I enjoy Mike Keenan and what have you, but I'm sick of hearing people teach on things that didn't work for them. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wood. All right. But if you have your Bible, please look in the book of the Revelation, please. In the book of the Revelation. And let's look in chapter 22 and verse 1. And the Bible said, and he showed me a pure river of water of life as clear as a crystal. It was proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride said, come. And whosoever heareth said, come. And let him that is a thirst come. And I know many times we deal with the unsaved person with this verse of Scripture. But I'm telling you, he that is a thirst can come. He that is looking for something from God can come. And God will fill him and use him. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. If you get anything from God after you're saved, you're going to take it, man. Amen. You're going to take it. You say, I'd like to pastor my church. The Bible said, taking the oversight thereof. That means sometimes you got to have a little fistic cup and take it. Amen. Amen. But always in the Bible, the river is always a symbol of the divine blessings of God. I've looked in the Bible. There's about 13 or 14 different rivers as mentioned. And everywhere you find a river, you'll find life. Amen. You go out in Texas and you can drive across that desert and it's just a barren nothing until you get to the Colorado River. You get to the Brazos River, the San Jacinto River. I mean, them rivers is what makes that a land where God can do something with it and man can do something with it. Now, rivers always run on uncharted routes. Nobody tells a river where to run. Lady came to our church here a while back. I've known her probably for 40 years or more. Her husband's died. Her family's passed away. She's a very wealthy woman. And she said, if this church was just 90 miles south north of here, Jack, she said, she's been to Myrtle, Mississippi. She went to all those old-time meetings, and God really showed this woman something. But her husband moved up and started a dairy. Now the dairy is sold, and her family's gone. She said, if this church was 90 miles north of here, she said, I'd be the first member. In other words, if God would make it more convenient, then, boy, I'd really get in. But she goes to a dead, buried Baptist church where God ain't never showed up in 50 years. But oh no, I'm not going to move toward the river. I'm going to stay out here in the desert and seem so spiritual and tell people what I used to be and how God moved where I used to be. Well, that used to be won't work anymore. Amen. So just move on down to the river. Amen. Move on down to the river. I got sick of Baptist religion back in 61. I pulled my freight and went to South America. And I didn't move out in the desert. I found me a river big as a Mississippi. And that river was just quiet and still. And I needed that. Weighed about 130 pounds in them old jails and prison preaching, nearly dead. And I camped right on that river for 3 years. Not a house, not electric light, not a stove. Not, I just camped there. I just camped. I read my Bible. I fasted. I prayed and sought God. And I finally said, Lord, thank God I'm here. I ain't seen a Baptist preacher in years. And well, what a wonderful place to be. Amen. Nobody criticizing you. Nobody talking about you. And if they were, you didn't even know nothing about it. Amen. I said, man, this must be heaven. Amen. Every time I want to barbecue some meat, I just shot whatever I want to shoot and barbecued it. Amen. What a place to live. But the Holy Ghost come and said, now you've been at the river long enough. And he moved me to Houston, Texas. I said, I don't want to go. So he broke my back and said, how'd you like to go now? I said, I believe I'll go. Amen. And that happened. Just like I said. But a river runs an uncharted route. In other words, wheresoever the river wants to run, it runs. And you've got to come to the river. The river ain't coming by your place. Amen. Get this, please. I mean, the river runs whensoever it desires. And so you get a real good drink. And you say, well, I wonder where camp meeting is next week. It's not camp meeting next week. It's the streets of Houston next week. It's the jails next week. It's the prisons next week. Amen. It's some ugly church members next week. Amen. Hallelujah. And these preacher friends fellowship meetings. Now, you better really get you a drink if you're going to one of them. Amen. The river runs an uncharted route. And I want to say, this river where I live was about in front of my house. It was over a mile wide in South America. And there was an island out there half a mile from my house. And you'd have to get a pair of glasses to look at those people. You couldn't even see the people. That's how far it was. And you'd look across that river and you'd look at that river. But that river would get on a rampage. And when it did, it just bring thousands and thousands of pounds of fertilizer and topsoil and pour it all in them river bottoms. And then that grass would just grow and them old cattle would get so fat they couldn't even walk. I'm going to tell you, we need an overflow. But I'm going to tell you, please tell me today, if the average Christian was in an overflow meeting, he wouldn't know what he was in. He'd think the devil was in it because he ain't never seen it. Amen. Did you remember Alley Oop in the funny papers? You remember Alley Oop used to get in that machine and push that button and he'd go back thousands of years, you know? You remember that? Boy, I mean, I used to, when I was a little kid, I'd run and get Alley Oop. I wanted to see him get in that machine. And it, whoop, he'd go this way or fall. One day you'd see him on a robot machine, the next day he had his club back. You going to follow me?
Yeah.
Amen? Wouldn't you like to just put you in on the machine and you'd run back and you'd be in a meeting about 3 days after Pentecost, the church is meeting and the blessing of God. I wonder what it was like. I wonder how they conducted it. I wonder how they gave the invitation. I went 1 year where I'm at and I never gave the invitation. Never gave one time. Had more people saved that year than I did the year before. It's confusing to me. You said, you've just got to get them an invitation. I don't know what it might do. You might have to do that. I don't know. But I believe if you Saturday night, if about 50 men just lay on the floor and cry out to God and pray out to God, and them soul winners out there working and knocking, done gave them the Word of God. I mean, most people, come time they get to church, they already know how to be saved. You done told them how to be saved. And then and a little breath of God comes through the hand and moves. Well, let me get off of that. Yeah. Let me get off that. I said the river carries untold riches in that river. Look in your Bible, please. Look in your Bible. What is this guy, what is Ezekiel doing jumping in this river? What's he doing wading around that river? Acting like some fool splashing around in there. Huh? What's he doing? Look in your Bible, please, in the book of Ephesians. I'm going to get me a new Bible. All these pages done fell out of this one. Not for me using it, but just hitting on it. Amen. In chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible said that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And we brag about our weaknesses. And God said, I will give you my, when the blessings of God come, you get to wading around that river, God's got a job for you. And God will give you strength. And the average Baptist brags about his unspiritual life, his weaknesses, and his sins. Boy, I used to want to vomit every Sunday morning, go to church. I had a man, if you called him and pray, he said, Dear God, forgive me of all of my sins. What if I'd get off the plane in Houston a few days from now, and I'd walk up to my wife, she meets me at the airport, and I said, Honey, I want you to forgive me of all of my sins. She said, You old fool, what you been doing? That sounds to me like that you're confessing your sins like you wash diapers in a pillowcase. You put them all in there. You take them down the river and dip them about 7 times and say, I want them all clean. But what you call that is a mess when you get through. Amen. No, you take them diapers out and wash them one at a time. And don't be coming up in front of the church and saying, God, forgive me of all of my sins. See, that's the reason Charles Spurgeon started that thing about putting it on who's going to pray on Sunday morning, where that man could go home and prepare to pray, come to church, and get a hold of God. And Spurgeon always said, don't pray over 20 minutes. He said, 10 minutes will be all right, but don't ever pray over 20 minutes. But he said, don't never pray under 10 minutes. In other words, he called on them to pray. There is a difference between praying and uttering some words. But anyway, this river carries untold riches to all. River bottom land grows 2 bales of cotton an acre in Texas. Land is not river bottom. It takes 7 Dagos and 4 quarts of whiskey to raise a fuss on it. That's land so poor in Texas because they ain't got no water, you couldn't raise a flag on it. Are you listening to me? But you get a river running through that arid desert land, you'll see those cattle fat, you'll see that land produce, and you'll see cotton planted and grain planted, and you'll see a big farmhouse up there where a rich man lives. Are you listening to me? It's the same way in a Christian life. You've got to get to the river. Amen. You say, I wish God would run it by my house. Why don't you leave your house and go where the river is? I get sick of people telling me, I live in this town and there's not even a church. I'd move in the morning. First thing I do, ain't a church. I got church members that call me. Danny Chapel, you ever have this happen? People move 50, 100 miles away and then call you back and say, do you know of a church in this town? Hey, if I'm going to move, I'm going to find out if there's a church before I move. I'm going to find out if my children are going to have a place to go to school before I move. Lord, have mercy. Youngin', what's the matter with you? I said, it carries untold riches to all. I want you to look at the third thing here. In Ezekiel 47 in verse 5, it said, after he measured 1,000, it was a river that I could not pass over. You see, the river of God always has an unlimited supply. Unlimited supply. And you hear Christians always using this verse of Scripture, my God shall supply all of your needs. Now, you better read that Scripture again. And you better take a real good look at that. You know, prior promise goes with a condition. And that Philippian church was a missionary-minded church. And he said, since you've done this, then my God shall supply all of your needs. You said, God's going to supply all of my needs. My needs. My needs. How about you praying for somebody else's needs, and God will supply them through you? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. What a blessing. Amen. But it has an unlimited supply. And people are confessing. And we as Baptists think it's wonderful to confess our weakness and shortcomings, and we even confess that we are not filled with the Spirit, and that we're not walking in the Spirit. And I believe that's just the biggest sin, is getting drunk. Is it or is it not? Where he said, be not drunk with wine, worse than excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, which one of them are you supposed to do? I think it's both of them, isn't it? Well, what if you get drunk? You said it's a sin. What if you don't get filled with the Spirit? Same sin. Same sin. Same sin. And so it is, it's an unlimited supply. God's got a river. I pulled out in the middle of that Paraguay River one time. I had 175 foot of rope and a big rock. And I just let it down. And I let it down. And I let it down. Never been a man fished in that, where I was at in that river. I was way back in the jungle. And I let it down. When that 175 feet was out, I still had rope. I'm out of rope, but I stuck my arm down. She must have been 250 foot deep. Now that's an unlimited amount. But I want to say this. We ate the fish out of there. We kept clean out of there. We used that river for transportation and for drinking water. Amen. And so when you go to the river, and God's got an unboundable supply, everything you need is in that river. You said, Brother Wood, you pray that I find the will of God. You find the river, and you won't have no trouble finding the way home. You got to find the river. You got to find the river. You see, this river, it makes pure people clean. He said, I went down to this river. I went down to this river, and he said, I began to wade around that thing. What's the first thing that river does? Man, we'd bring them old horses in. We'd work them cattle. Lived on a 2-million-acre ranch. We'd work them old cattle, and them old horses would be sweated down. We'd just ride them right on out in the water. Jump off that old horse and wash his back all off. That old horse would just shake and roll, and man, that felt wonderful. 136 degrees in the shade, and ain't no shade nowhere. You said, man, that's hot. That ain't hot. You ought to bend down a little bit further down the road. It got hotter. I'm telling you, it's 136 degrees. I've seen dogs just die from the heat. Amen. If you'd run a horse during the day, he'd die during the heat. Amen. But when you got to that river and got your real cool drink, jumped off in that river, took your bath, come out of that river and laid up on that bank and just soaked it up. One time I've been about 11 days crossing what's called Green Hell of Paraguay, driving a troop of horses all the way from the Pilcomayo in Argentina all the way to the Brazilian border. And when I got over there one day, I was about 8 days on the road, and the mud was all over my face and stuck all over my... I was the dirtiest, filthiest mess you ever saw. My whiskers had growed out. My hair had growed out. I mean, I was the wildest looking animal you ever saw in your life, and was wild. I rode up in a little old camp, and there was a girl out washing clothes. And she had, and her and her husband was missionaries, and Juan Cadero, a Mexican unsaved man, asked her, said, where's your husband? She said, he'll be back in just a minute. I rode my horse up, and she looked up at me, and that girl, you could see fear in her eyes. I said, honey, have you ever been saved? She said, them's the most wonderful words I've ever heard. Yeah. But you know what I did? I got that Riacho Gonzalez. I just crawled off in that thing, took my guns off, laid my shotgun up there, my saddle and my chaps, my spurs and my boots, and just laid down that river. 2 hours later, somebody said, hey, we got something to eat. I said, I'm not looking for nothing to eat. I'm looking to soak up some of this water. People come to my camp meeting, and they said, I've just got one day. You're too busy. One man came in the other day, and he said, preacher, I've just got to get home. I've got to get home. I said, what for? He said, I got a man died. I'm the pastor of the church. What are you going to do? He's dead. You're really necessary. You are. You can't raise him from the dead, so you might as well stay here. And I mean, I watched this man drive out of town. I said to myself, it took us 2 years to talk him into coming. I mean, he's there just for about an hour and got him one good drink, and he run out the back door. Run to do something else. I'm busy. Oh, I am so busy. When you get that busy, you're too busy. Amen. Amen. That's why I tell all my preacher boys, when you get home from the mission field, you ain't speaking for nobody. You say, Brother Wood, y'all have that rule. We have the rule in the church that when you land on this soil here for 6 months, you ain't going nowhere but to that church right there and get your cup refilled back up. You've been over 5 or 6 years. You've been about 5 or 6 years working and laboring with them heathens and what have you, and your children have been speaking another language, and your wives have been, and your wife needs a fellowship, and you bring them all in and sit them down 6 months, and after 6 months is over, they said, "Man, I'm ready to go." "Yeah, you're ready to go. Sure, you're ready to go." One guy called and said, "Listen, I support you, and I want you here. I mean, I send you $25 a month, man. You do what I tell you to do." I said, "It makes unpure clean. A river is a place to clean up." That's what was happening last night. He said, "I don't believe what Sunday Talbot preached. Who cares? It's the truth anyhow." I was reading over there the other day about this, about Adam and Eve. I got a fellow out there in Texas, and he told me, he said, "God spoke to my heart to join your church." I was one of the goingest men in our town after souls. He said, "God spoke to me to join this church," but he didn't speak to his wife. So him and his wife and his daughter came and didn't speak to his daughter either. And so they went back home and they thought about it a little while. And so the next time I saw him, he didn't come back. And I met him, and we don't live far from each other, about 10 foot. And I noticed he hadn't spoke to me. I hadn't said a word. I'd already told him, when he told me that God wanted me, I said, I don't believe he does. I said, "I don't believe it's your family." She said, "We're looking for a place that we can help. We're looking for a place we can help." About 3 or 4 weeks later, a boy moved in the house with him, or his daughter's girlfriend, boyfriend. You couldn't tell what he was, the way he dressed. And his wife said, "You don't think that our daughter would do anything wrong. They're gone. They work all day. These two don't work. They're 19 years old. They don't work at least." Now, my daddy was lost and on his way to hell, but he never allowed nothing like that. But, oh, Brother Wood, we're free. You don't have to be so stupid because you're free. And I saw something. So he told me, he said, "Well, you know, you've got to live with them." That's when he didn't come to the church. When the boy moved in, he said, "You got to live with him." Yeah. Well, Adam lived before he had her. Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you something, woman. You drink Jack Woods' water and eat Jack Woods' food, you're going to do what Jack Woods said. Amen. Now, my wife is a total independent woman. If you ever met her, Danny Farley's been around her, he'd get a bunch of these men sitting here and knows her personally. Why? It's me and her getting a scrap every now and then. That's why we don't let anybody stay at our house. and if you won't never tell her, you know, I was going down to church one day and she got all hostile about something. I said, "Won't you shut up?" And she said, "I'm not going to shut up." And I just grabbed her and picked her up and put her in a bathtub. She'd run me a bathtub full of water, and I baptized her in that thing and run. I took off. Amen. I thought you was the boss. I am. I ain't stupid. Amen. And I didn't eat there for 3 days. I thought she was going to poison the food. Amen. I was looking at Adam and Eve, and he said, and Eve was not deceived. Adam was one who was deceived. I wonder why God didn't say Eve was deceived. He didn't say that. He didn't say nothing about it. In other words, he held Adam accountable for all of it. In other words, she said, "Adam, eat it." He said, "Yes, honey." And you know, when you use, lady, when you use some of them wiles that you use to get your will, all you're doing is taking that man out of God's hand. That ain't in the sermon. But that's what happened. That's what happened. I mean, Adam was not deceived. But he ate that stuff because his wife told him to. And I imagine when he went to church next morning, he said, I felt definitely led of the Lord to do it. Pastor, we feel like that God would have us to move on. He's doing the talking. And she's sitting there nodding her head because she done told this monkey what to say. Man told me a good while back, he said, Brother Wood, he said, God wants me to leave this church. He said he really does. I'd won him the Lord about 18 years ago. He said, God wants me to leave this church. His wife's sitting there doing it.
Come on, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I wouldn't blame God for my weakness. Amen. I wouldn't lay it off on the Holy Ghost, my weakness. I'm telling you, that's blasphemy. She's not the Holy Ghost. You just think she is. I said, it makes the unclean pure. See, a river is a place to clean up, and a river is a place to soak up, and a river is a place to fill up. You ever get to a river like I did in them old deserts, and you take them old canteens and wash them out, and when you pour that up, just mud would come out. So that mud doesn't settle in. You clean that canteen all up, that water sure did taste good in that 3-gallon can you had on the side of that horse. What are you saying, preacher? It makes the unclean pure. It makes the inaccessible places easy to get to. I live way back up in that jungle. But I'm telling you what, when you got on that river, you could go right to that jungle place, 400 miles, right into that back country, and you could get off there. And I mean, there wasn't electric light, there wasn't a car, there wasn't nobody but that ranch there. You see, you don't have any problem going to the whole world if you drink out of that river. And you can talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost, and you can talk about the deeper life, and you can talk about anything you want to talk about. But if your church is not a missionary-minded church, you're wasting your breath. Because I'm going to tell you something, the Holy Ghost, he said, you shall be witness of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when you cut the missions out of the church and the giving out of the church, and you become a tight-fisted church, amen? Amen. I believe today we spent about nearly $200,000 building a church. And a guy wrote me a letter the other day and said, Brother Wood, I know y'all are building a building. No, we're not building a building. That doesn't have anything to do with our mission program. Nothing whatsoever. And that $200,000 is paid for. We're debt-free. That big old auditorium is built. We don't owe a dime on it. Don't owe a nickel on that sucker. Not one quarter. Joe West said the myth of missions. The myth of missions is if I give, then our church won't have anything. No, the myth is if you don't give, you won't have nothing. And whatever you got is cursed of God. Amen. I learned that as a young Christian. Someone told me that. They said, oh, you got that jail ministry and 15 boys in that jail ministry. That's a good place to get your boys started. I went down and preached a meeting the other day in the penitentiary. That'd be a good place to die.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The guy that's talking to me ain't had 3 people saved in the last 3 years. And here them convicts are coming forward to be saved. A Baptist preacher asked Dan last week, said, what good does it do to give the invitation? I mean, look at him. What good did it do for him to come down? This is a Baptist preacher. Said, what good does it do for him to come forward? We've come a long ways, baby. You know what's wrong with him? There's 40 men lined up across that altar getting saved, and he was jealous because he's getting saved. Did you ever tell a preacher, well, we had 12 saved in the prison last week? He said, how many of them really meant it? How many of them 3 you got saved last year really meant it? Ain't none of them in your church. God bless you. I said it makes those inaccessible places easy to get to. Can you imagine Dan Metters? Dan Metters is the loudest, screamingest preacher I've ever heard in my life. Dan's been with me since 79. And Dan Methodist preaching in the First Baptist Church in New York City last week. First Baptist Church. I am Haldeman, the great fundamentalist of the faith. He's preaching I am Haldeman Church. And he gives the invitation. And five grown people got saved. How did he get in that? Don't ask me. I think he was swimming in the river. And a lady walked up and said, my soul, son. I ain't never heard nobody scream like that. But she said, man, that's the first time the invitation's been given this church in years and years and years. Down there in that old mission down there in New York, he preached the whole week up there. And the lady walked up and said, she's from the Brethren Church. And she said, your English is terrible. She said, I am an English professor in a college, and said, your English is terrible, but thank God, young man, I could feel God breathing on me. Yeah. Yeah. Get to swimming along. And that river, all soaked up. It ought to give you something to do. Makes it unaccessible places easy to get to. People said, we can't get in no jails in Houston. Where's Chuck at here? Chuck, where are you at? Right here? Chuck was in a jail the other day, and they walked in this jail and sit down. So they've been there for, how many months y'all stay in that jail? About 8 months. Alan's still there. One of our men's still in that jail. Jail's got 1,700 men in that prison. And this Baptist chaplain asked him, said, what are you going to do with that Bible? They had their Bibles in hand. I said, a Baptist chaplain asked them in the office, what are you going to do with that Bible? You won't need that here. He said, well, we're just going to show some sinner how to be saved. He said, you don't go out here and tell these men they're sinners. He said, many of these men are fine young Catholic Christians. He was a Baptist chaplain. Baptist chaplain. SBC, and I ain't cussing, at Southern Baptist Convention. Hey. They pay him $32,000 a year to send people to hell. Sunday morning, they marched 300 men in there and set them down. And he come in there to see what. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. 300 men sitting there. And Alan got up and preached to them, and this poor man left. My Lord, he said, what's going on? You must be saved! Don't go to hell. They won't be there long. He said, how'd you get in them places? Jump in the river, it floats right by there. But you know, can I say that the average young preacher, there's nothing wrong with that. You would rather have this pulpit with 26 people who just split somebody else's church, mad at everybody, even God, and you want a place to preach. Well, by the way, you've got authority over that little square right there. You need to jump in the river, cowboy. That's what was wrong with Naaman. Naaman said, what I need to do, Elisha, he said, jump in the river. Don't do it one time, do it 7. You get in that river, and he come out clean. He come out clean. Or you listen, he come out clean. It makes those hard places, inaccessible places. We had something happen. This don't happen every Sunday, but last Sunday, a little old prostitute there in the street, probably 22 or 23 years old, been on them streets for 6-7 years. And she come walking in the mission, had her face all washed off, and had all them big crazy hairdo, looked like she took a hit out in the wind, and had her hair all combed down, and had a dress on, and she looked like she just come from church. Dan said, kid, what happened? She said, I got saved up here last week. Said, I was talking to Alan. She said, Dan, I just come by to tell you, in these old dirty streets, goodbye. How'd that happen? Just jump in the river. Because, see, your little soul winning program, it won't work that. It won't work that. How many more whores you've got to love and pray and weep over them and cry over them for 2 or 3 years? You got to preach 2 or 3 of them, tune them. And then God let you win some of them. Black man walked in my church Sunday. His name is Alvin. Alvin Callis. Had a tie on, driving a nice car. I walked over to him. I said, Alvin, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing fine, preacher. He said, you know, this is an anniversary type thing. He said, 3 years ago, your men led me to Christ down them streets. Said, I was just a bum laying down. He said, I'd lost my job, lost my home, lost my family, lost everything. He said, God saved me 3 years ago, and I just come by here to say hello. And God bless you. He's a wonderful, just jump in the river. He said, it might be going in the wrong direction. That's what Jonah's problem was. You might be going to the wrong people. That's what Jonah's problem was. It moves the ungodly to thirst. You see, this river here. It said over here, you know, we got to talk about this river, and he said, as the fish of the great sea that was exceedingly many. Where did them fish come from? I don't know. Come out of the river. No river, no fish. I don't care what you produce. It'll never get to heaven. I don't care what you produce. I don't care what your method is. If there ain't a river where that ungodly soul can drink. My soul. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. And I'm going to tell you, when you get hungry and thirsty for God, you won't be worried about these mosquitoes. Can you believe this? 1958, 1959, 1960, 1961, Brownie Roger and I hitchhiked to Myrtle, Mississippi. 4 years straight in the road, hitchhiked. Nowadays, when I start to leave my church, I said, I'm going to Danny's camp meeting. Anybody want to go? How many is riding in the car? Too many for you to get in. How many is going? Where are we going to sleep? You ain't hungry enough. Did you ever see a hungry man? You know, some people remind, I had a mentally retarded uncle. He said he had a mentally retarded nephew. But I had a mentally retarded uncle. And he'd come by the house, and Mama'd say, Elby? He said, you guys ain't eat? And Mama said, y'all got some eggs? And it'd be about 12 o'clock. He said, that's for breakfast. He just walk out the door. But see, he had another sister right across the street and one right down the street. He'd go to all of them's house until he found all of them eating, and he just sat down. See, Uncle Elby wasn't thirsty, and he wasn't hungry either. He's just going to eat to keep him getting hungry. You ever notice when they used to knock on the back door? We live right by a railroad track, and that bum would say, lady, you have anything to eat left for breakfast? Mom would say, I got some cold oatmeal. He said, that'll be fine. She said, we don't have no sugar. He said, that's all right. Well, we don't have no milk. Oh, that's all right. You got an old piece of cold bread? Say, I got some cornbread from you. That'd be all right. That'd be all right. Say, he's hungry. He didn't care what it was. I mean, just hand it here. That'd eat it. And I'm going to tell you something, child of God. When you get hungry for God, you eat.